we've got a bright future, a really bright future. And this I can't preach as dogma. I can just, like, I'd come back and change parts of it as it comes. So, but it's getting more and more to where that I'm understanding. And so I reserve the right to come back and say, no, this will be before that. But I'm understanding more and more about our future. As I read the Gospels and I read different things that Jesus said and then the other epistles and different things from the book of Revelation. Jesus spoke a couple of times about angels having a part in the end and gathering, that they would gather. And two places in Matthew talks about angels having a part in the gathering that would take place. They seem to be two separate events. They were asking him what was the end of the world, and he was answering that. And then again he was answering in Matthew 24. And of course we understand even more closely now that this gospel shall be preached to all men. What gospel? The gospel of power and the gospel of words, doctrine. But Jesus talked about that there would come at the close, at the end of the world, and the angels would gather. Now, in one place, he talks about that there would be a trumpet that would sound, and that the righteous would be gathered from every place. And Paul also mentions about this trumpet that will sound, and Paul talks about that we will be changed, that our natural bodies will be changed. It seems to be that the next thing that will take place, the Bible says that we, the saints of God, that are here, will know unequivocally that we will know that man of perdition. The Bible says that he will oppose himself, all that is righteous, and he will stand up and declare himself as to be God, standing in that place where he ought not to stand. It is the desolation, it is the abomination of desolation that Daniel prophesied, and Jesus spoke of it as well. He said, when you see this come to pass, know that this generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. This man of perdition, which is the Antichrist, will stand up, and he will stand up in Jerusalem, and he will have gathered a great part of the world following him. And about that time that he comes into full power, then it appears that many, many armies of the earth will also encompass Israel and will think to... His popularity, it seems, will go from day to night, overnight. And it seems about that time that this trumpet will sound. Now, I'm telling you that this is not, I'm not preaching this as doctrine. I'm just saying these are sketchy things that are becoming more and more visible through the Gospels. You may hear some. And I grew up under a doctrine that said we will escape the tribulation. I haven't found that. I'm not sure that all the world is going to face it as vehemently as the Middle East will face it. There will be also a dichotomy of, although there will be incredible things happening, cataclysmic things happening, there will also be normacy. There will be a normacy that will be like people will just continue to be have families and raise families. And I do agree so much with what Dr. Jim says, that the biggest part of it will take place in that part of the world. You don't see America so much in the prophecy. Some say, and I hope it's not the case, that America declines in its predominance in the world. And that's why it's not mentioned so much. But we're going to be changed. It appears that change will then We will be caught up. The Bible does say that. Somebody said, there's no word rapture. I know, but it does say we will be caught up and that our bodies will be changed. So there will be a change that will take place. And at that trump, and at that point also, it coincides with the fact or the truth that the angels will gather all the saints. They will be gathered. Our bodies, our natural bodies, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. There's not going to be a corpse laying there. It'll be, we can't teach this. We've taught it before, but there'll be a combustion, an internal combustion that'll take place. And the thing that causes that internal combustion to take place, and we can prove it out of Scripture, is the new nature that resides on the inside. That spirit person will then also transform our physical body into a glorified body. It'll still look just like you, although we won't be carrying on families. You know, we will just be caught up, but it appears that everything will change then. And he will come. He will come and at that point in time and settle in that big chaotic thing that was taking place with the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will have a prophet that is will be beside him that will basically do an extremely amount of miracles, and it'll look like that he is to some the Christ, because he'll be doing just things looking like he can do anything, raise the dead, do anything, perform miracles. And of course, when Christ comes down, that is not the final. At that point in time, we which are alive and will remain will be caught up and will also be changed. Those that will are all our loved ones, they're coming back. It seems at that point. And as I said, as things go, and I find correction in this, but I'm just kind of giving you an overview. Is that okay? Just an overview. There'll be 1,000 years. That government will be set up for 1,000 years, and of course, hinging that the end of the revelation, the end of the tribulation has come, and there'll be a government set up. And of course, it'll be that Jesus will be reigning and ruling over all the earth. And that's why I love that song, that's 1,000 years. But of course, not everybody's gone. There's billions of people still. And it's very possible there's going to be millions of babies born out of those whose bodies were not transformed. And at so there'll be hardly any death. It says there's a place in Isaiah that talks about that how old people will actually get, because of there'll be very no disease and all those kinds of things that take no crime, so they can't. And so that 1,000 years of reign, and the reason why there's so much peace is because the Bible says that when he comes, that he cast Satan, the dragon, will be cast into the bottomless pit. Now, amazingly, at that point in time, later in Revelation, he's brought out of the pit and then cast into the lake of fire. So he changes residence. But he's cast into a bottomless pit. That's a mystery, how that something can be bottomless. But he will be falling in torment for 1,000 years. And, of course, the Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast. They will be removed off the scene as well. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. But at the end of that, now there's no chance of us at that point in time going rogue. We're all glorified. But at the end of that, he is led out. Satan is led out to tempt the nations. And can you believe, after having seen a rulership of Christ and the saints ruling with Christ for 1,000 years, can you believe that he puts together a huge following and a tremendous a caucus of nations that will actually actually come against the Lord. And it says a very short season, or it's a short season, just a very, I think it could be a matter of months. I don't know. I really can't say that. But it'll be really short. He'll tempt the nations, and he'll pull them all together. I believe at that time there's a possibly, and again, there's a possibly a couple of coronations, a couple of, it seems like that right after, and this is real sketchy to me. We're just going to keep reading and keep praying, but I do know there are some good times ahead of us. It seems like right after he comes back, there is the Bible says there is a group, there that the elders, the angels, and men that no man could number were before him and before his throne, with palm branches in their hands, just multiple millions, and everyone from the possibly the Old Testament throughout, standing there and worshiping him as he takes center stage. Man, I'm telling you, that is going to be incredible, incredible. Then after this war, after that 1,000 years, and after this incredible war that is no war at all, the Bible says that as they approach him, that fire will come down from heaven and consume them all. That's it. There's not going to be any war. It's just it. After that, then the other saying of Jesus, when everything comes to a close, see, after we've our future's bright. After a close, then the Bible says that the angels will gather all the unrighteous, all of that which defiles. They'll gather them all up, and then will Satan be judged, and he will be forever cast into the lake of fire, and all that defiles, and that is also part of the sayings of Christ. Then will he sit in the end and judge the goats from the lambs, and all the angels will gather all of the sinners on the planet to be judged, and they will go in, sad to say, and that'll be it. That'll be over. And then he pulls us, evidently. He pulls us off the planet very briefly, and into a holding place, possibly because Peter says that the heavens, you know, when Jesus said, or when the Word says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will always remain. It's not talking about where he's at will pass away. It's talking about the heaven, of course, the earth and the heaven that we know, and all the stars, even the galaxies. It says that they will all be consumed. They will flee away. He's going to recreate everything. So with a fervent heat, this whole world is going to just burn up. And then he's going to recreate as it was in its original fashion. And then, only then, not in the millennial, not the millennial will not bring heaven down, but then will, John said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down. And that's when the earth is restored totally, and new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, or from that place. Now, then there's no more heaven out there. Heaven comes down. What a city. 1,200 miles in a cube. That's like driving from here to Maine. Just one side of it's 1,200 miles, 1,200 miles, 1,200 miles, and 1,200 miles. He'll live in that city. We'll be able to occupy and go. I mean, if you had 1,200 miles square, you could put a lot of people in there if they were. And then somewhere along that time, or and it's all sketchy, but it says that the glory of the nations will come into that city. And when it says the glory of the nations, it's talking about all the different nations of the earth. I watched the Olympics, Candy and I watched the final ceremony of the Olympics, and there all of those nations are coming in. And that's, I think, very similar. There's going to be a tremendous parade along the lines of that final coronation, when the African nations and the Asian nations and all of their glory, what we understand them to what costumes or what beauty or whatever is part of their decor, they'll parade that in before the Lord. And then that's it. We go in, I don't know past that. We don't have any answers past. We just know that all eternity is in front of us, and it's going to be good. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. I've got a future. Amen. You've got a future. So, man, I'll tell you what, some of those services when he stands up and all of us are there to worship him, my God, it's going to be, it's just, I told Candy the other day, I said, we were riding along and we were worshiping the Lord and the glory of the Lord was in the car. And I said, my God, whoo, when that happens, thank God we've got a glorified body. Because this body had just burst. It just, I'm telling you, you get billions of people just worshiping the Lamb, worship the Lamb, worship the Lamb, and the Holy Ghost is everywhere, and you're just, my God, have mercy. Hallelujah. And nothing there is to, you couldn't even make yourself have a bad thought. Won't that be a good place to be? My God. Hallelujah. Won't be a pain. You couldn't have a pain in your body. Couldn't have a bad thought. All you got is just love, 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 love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! All right, Lord. Get them saved tonight. Come tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go ahead and just, if you would, please. Let's just go ahead and ask the Lord what he'd have you to give tonight. Whew, that wasn't the sermon. That was just, I just like knowing our future, don't you? Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to give. We bless you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us one more time? And Marty, you got anything? I know I'm catching you. I love to worship you or something. If you missed anybody in that last time, just say hi. You can bring this down. We'll go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have something to give, just bring it on down. We appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that Immokalee is saved and all the monies that we need for this revival. And Father, we thank you that this house is thoroughly furnished with the blessings from above. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. I just want to welcome all of you tonight and welcome the folks that are tuning in on YouTube. We appreciate you watching. Just some people that have been, it's really neat when people are writing our email and saying hi. I was asking Natalie about a friend of hers, Classy. She's been saying that she's been watching and enjoying it. So, hello. And Cinda, she wrote in the other day and said she's really been enjoying these and say hi to Homer. I will. And Homer will be back with us next service. I want to say hi to Mark and Julie in Tulsa. And these are just people that are watching and people that are helping and praying and supporting. And we appreciate everybody out there. If you're out there and you're watching these services, send us an email. Go to our website and send us an email and tell us where you're at and what's going on. We appreciate it so much. So hi to everybody. Amen. Just join with me in prayer, would you please? Father, thank you for this time of blessing in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for people that are out there that are part of our family that perhaps we don't even know yet, that we haven't met, but we thank you for their blessings. We thank you for them being a part of what we're doing here in spirit and listening and receiving what, Lord, you place on our hearts. And we thank you for everyone that's praying. We thank you for revival that is coming and now is. We ask you to bless our time in the Word, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to begin again with that a couple different things I mentioned last week. I can't get away from that prophecy that Gary Carpenter gave us a number of years ago, that when he was here, and the Lord said through him that many have called this place Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord departed. You know, Immokalee had some bad reps in days gone by, but the Lord said, I call this place Bethel, which Bethel means the house of the Lord. And so the Lord went on to talk about all the other good things that he was going to do as a result of us receiving a revival into this place. And so we appreciated that. But then from a practical sense, what was really wonderful for me, and I mentioned this last week and it bears repeating, is that I spoke to a personal friend or a friend of mine, and a personal friend, I've known him for a while, and he is a sheriff's deputy right here in Immokalee, and I talk to him occasionally, and he drives by the house, and he'll stop by, and we'll talk, and he's been on the force for 17 years, and I asked him, have you always served in Immokalee? He said, all but 2 years, so he has 15 years of Immokalee experience, and I asked him, standing in, he stopped by and gave me a great big hug. He's born again, great guy. And I said, I said, let me ask you this. I said, what about crime in Immokalee as in comparison to days gone by? He said, we've kicked it out of here. It's gone. He said, basically by way of comparison to where it once was, it's gone. That is revival beginning. Now, he says, I will tell you this, and we're changing our confessions. He says, we follow these basically these bad guys. He didn't use this term, but I knew what he was talking about. He said, well, all the felons and the gangbangers and the dope guys and all of it, he said, we put them in jail. They serve time, and then they have to register. And he said, they're all going to Lehi. He said, they're all going there. But Lehi is born again in Jesus' name. So For years, people said, I want to raise my family someplace other than Immokalee. And did you know now Immokalee is becoming one of the most crime-free cities around? Isn't that amazing? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In fact, the guy told me, that was another thing. He goes, and basically he was basing it on statistics and everything. He said, I know people may look at it and say, well, we've got multiracial neighborhoods, but he says, if you want a place, he said this to me, I didn't solicit, he said, if somebody wants a place to raise their family, Immokalee's the place to raise your family now, he said. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because we keep saying, Immokalee's in revival. Immokalee's in revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to continue to talk tonight about the ecumenical revival. Can that happen? And it's important for us because we had part one about 3 weeks ago, and now tonight we're going to talk about part two. But the things that the Lord is going to hone in on for us to understand what it takes to have revival, it's like the Lord is helping us and saying, okay, are you serious? And we're saying, yes, we're serious. We had three services in a row, and they were like prophetic services. I could not get away from them. It's like God caught my heart and said, why is the church not having revival? And it wasn't just this church, but it was like church at large. Why is it not having revival? Well, one, on that one particular Sunday 2 weeks ago, we talked about the mindset of the church and how that the sin question reigns even for those that don't have necessarily or not directly involved in sin, but how the church tolerates it. And then Wednesday, we went into it again, and we taught that lesson which we just really reiterated Sunday, which was get your hands off of everybody's throats, you know. it was amazing to me. I had read it before, and I guess I'd seen it, but it was like, you know, when you see something and it just stands out like a neon sign. It says, Jesus said, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses if you do not from your heart forgive every man their trespasses. Now, the amazing part, this is what stood out to me, this is what really was really amazing to me, is that someone could say, and I use it as an example, last week it was like, I use it as a dialogue, like say for instance if you were having a conversation with somebody. Well, the person coming back or the person having a hard time or the person walking through something could say, you know what, I went through a hard time with my flesh. I had some lust, or I had this or that and the other. But I got past that, and I'm all forgiven. I've recently repented of all that, and I'm all forgiven for all those sins. Amen. Amen. And then turn right around and say, but I can't stand that person. I hate that person. Then, based on what Jesus said, is that the things that you have repented for after you come in, I'm not talking about, we differentiated last week, the threshold is, I don't think anybody could be saved if they had to forgive everybody. It's just basically the blood of Jesus. But once you go into Christ, and once you are in that place of knowing Him, how important it is to continually forgive. Otherwise, even those things that you've repented for, if you're holding alt, still stands up in front of God as a memorial before God. And they can separate you as in fellowship with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus said. So, praise the Lord. I really hadn't planned on saying that, but He wanted to say that. Hallelujah. So we're just listening. Praise the name of the Lord. Part one, we defined what ecumenical means. And that's important. Why? Because we asked the question, we said, can there be an ecumenical revival? And somebody said, well, I don't even know what ecumenical means. Well, I'm not trying to be, you know, sophisticated here. I'm just trying to make a point in which we're showing, we're going to continue to show from the Word of God. Now, the word ecumenical means this. It's easy. It just means it's concerned with promoting unity among churches or religions. Ecumenical thinking, ecumenical activities, the ecumenical movement. It basically means this. And I said of my own self before that I had had a lot of, because being a pastor, you'll have a lot of people that will come at different times, different groups or pastors will come and say, we're going to have an ecumenical meeting, or we're all going to get together, and we'd like for you to come. And because we're praying, a lot of times they'll say, we're praying for revival for Immokalee. And so as in love and courtesy, a lot of times I will avail myself to that to say, you know what, if you're after revival, if you're after change in Immokalee, that's the same place that we're after. But at the same time, we ask this question, and the question is meant to teach. And the question is this: can an outpouring like we're asking God for take place, whether it's in Immokalee or whether any other place, through ecumenical, different, a whole bunch of different churches getting together and saying, look, because we're coming together, and that seems to be impressive, like unity is taking place, we're coming together, so if we come together and pray for revival over our city or over our region, then by this unity, and it sounds right, by this unity, God's going to hear our prayers. Well, there is a certain portion of truth in that. In fact, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 talks about that if we, the people of God, and that would include anybody, whether they're if they're truly Christ's, whether they're spirit-filled or not, if the people of God will humble themselves and pray and repent, then he will hear from heaven. He'll come and heal their land. So to some degree, the Lord can and he will move just in those kind of situations where a whole lot of people are getting together to pray. The Lord will do that as much as he possibly can. But our objective, let me just read this to you or say this to you. What our objective is not just to show the impossibility, but to see the absolute necessity of true biblical unity within the church, the body of churches in creating true biblical outpouring. Now, we established this. Now, I'm having to take you back 3 weeks now. At the end of what we taught, I asked the question, and you pretty much unanimously said, based on what we are after, based on the blind seeing and the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking, and, of course, we always conclude, most importantly, that salvation, thousands and thousands are born again. But all those other things included, the Acts chapter 2 revival, can that take place with an ecumenical setting? And we concluded, based on everything that we taught in that first lesson, that no, it really could not take place. Why? Because in the end, the differences of doctrine would always fragment to a point to where there would be no unity in going forward. It would fragment to the point to where that whatever God ever started, you can agree if you're have any foundation of salvation, you can agree on the blood of Jesus. That's where you start. But past that, that's where things really, really get fragmented. And as I said, my objective is not to teach some superficial lesson here tonight just on ecumenical settings, but to give us and those that are watching a gravity and a sobriety to say, how important is it for us to think alike and to speak alike and to communicate alike? I'm not asking for clones in here. I'm not asking for everybody to be just like me. I'm not asking that we go through some kind of orientation of legalism, like we all have to exactly say it this way or that way. But I'm telling you this, that once we look at the Word of God, once we look at how important unity really is, not only do we understand that the Acts chapter 2 revival that we're asking God for can't take place in those kinds of settings, and the reason being, we'll cite some of those, going on to understanding more. Now, as I said, over the last couple services, we've talked about, and you know, I hope you forgive me, get your hands off people's throats, and especially those were aimed at, and not trying to keep nobody in front of me, but especially the Holy Spirit was aiming that at those in authority, those that are little babies, newbies, and even the adolescents. They really, God will say, okay, you're growing. But in fact, I got a beautiful text from Gary yesterday. I was sitting in the hospital, and he said, man, I listened to all three of your messages, and he said, man, you got it right. You really got it right. Because I was talking about, look, there is a progression. There is that progression, the 30, 60, and the 100-fold. And when you're young in the Lord, it does take you sometimes a while to get over offenses. But the more you grow, and Gary said, man, you're right. He goes, a 20-year-old elder in the faith, their forgiveness capacity ought to be immediate, like right now. And so we patronize each other. I've patted you on the back, and you've patted me on the back and said, I know you're trying to get over it. You'll get over it. Well, that's okay if you're just, a newbie, and that's okay if you're just growing. But the days, if we're going to go into revival, and it's not that anybody gets kicked to the curb. If you're still in need, then finish your course, do whatever you have to do. But the reality of it is if we're going to walk in the unity of God, then 20-year-old elders or 10-year-old elders don't get that luxury. And we don't get that luxury. In other words, we have to corral it now, bring it in now. It's not that it doesn't come. It's not that you don't feel the emotions, but you don't get the luxury of, I'm trying to get over this thing. No. Get over it right now. Get over yourself right now. That's what revival's about. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's one level of unity. The other level of unity is the Lord is using like ecumenical, like we're going to look at the far outside and then bring it in closer to the inside here. Many ecumenical settings begin with, and you ought to read this with me because you'll appreciate this, and I'm not poking fun at all, folks, because remember, if you can remember back 3 weeks ago, we read a scripture. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 133. We read a scripture that Jesus said that you cannot give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, that you won't lose your reward. In other words, there's a reward for that. Whatever anybody is doing to bring righteousness into the earth and preach Jesus, how many of you know that God loves that? He loves that. And so our spiritual noses ought never be in the air because we think we know something, because about the time you think you know something, you don't know anything. And I realize the more I know, the more I don't know. And so it's so important that we just appreciate wherever anybody's at and whatever they're doing and say, praise God. If that's where they're at, praise God. If they don't speak in tongues, but they preach Jesus Christ, man, God bless you. We appreciate that. But come on over here, Pastor, and we're all going to get together, and we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to see if something can be birthed out of this. Well, I will. The only thing is, and see, these guys won't never hear this, but if they did, it's all in love. Our differences based on this will only let it go so far. In other words, let's go ahead, let's all get together, and let's pray, and God will, see, here's the deal. Somebody has got to spearhead it. Somebody does. Now, I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal, but I'm saying whether it's us or somebody else that goes in, takes this word, fast and prays in tongues, somebody's got to spearhead it. Now, the other churches will get the residual. They'll get the residual. And will we be puffety about if we're the one that spearheaded and the breakthrough takes place, are we going to puff up about that? Absolutely not. We're going to say thank God, because a lot of people in what we're calling for, if a canopy covers Immokalee, a canopy of glory covers Immokalee, then even the churches that don't preach exactly what we preach, they're going to have tremendous success. In other words, there's going to be a lot of salvations going into other churches, and God will bless the people just as far as He possibly can, just because of the canopy of glory that will take place. But can the revival that we're talking about continue to take place, or take place? I have been in a lot of ecumenical meetings where this psalm was the psalm that was read, or the scripture that was read, and everybody said, amen. And so you got people, groups from several different churches, and they would read Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that boy would say, yes, amen. And again, I'm not making fun. It would be like, yes, we're here for the purpose of unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon, or the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And they would preach just even an exhortation, say, look, if we want blessings, we're here for unity. God's going to recognize that unity, and as a result of it, you know, we're going to receive. And then we're praying for Immokalee, or we're praying for this region. And that is good to a certain extent. But that's not the unity that he's talking about. The unity that he is talking about there, we can trace back to Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that they were all in one mind and in one accord. They were in that place, and as a result of being in one mind, in other words, they believed exactly the same, and they were saying exactly the same, and they were expecting exactly the same, and there was no division about what they didn't even know who is this. Jesus said, just go and wait, and they were 10 days, approximately 10 days in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so Psalms 133 is often quoted, but that's not the unity. That, because just a bunch of people getting together under the guise of Christian doesn't bring unity. Just because we're together in a service doesn't make us unified. And just because we name the name of Christ doesn't unify us. It unifies us only to the point that we are spiritually have the same DNA, that we're born again. That's the unity. It's not the fulfillment of Scripture, as I said. And again, everybody say a cup of cool water or cold water. How much do we appreciate everybody that gives a cup of cold water? I mean, that can be just naming the name of Christ and getting people born again. The governments, now listen to this, the governments of many denominations and churches are pre-programmed to stop any viable escalation of spirituality. In other words, many church, based on the church that you go to, the government in that church, or the government of that denomination already has, whether they know it or not, has a pre-program. They don't put it in there for this purpose, but it's already pre-programmed that if any escalation of spirituality, in other words, if things really spiritual start happening, the enemy can, just based on what their bylaws are and just based on what their denomination is, he can, without doing a whole lot, just take the foundation of their government and put a real strong monkey wrench in stopping the outpouring, just absolutely stopping the pour. And I saw this firsthand. I was part of a denomination as a younger man going into Bible college, and I saw that denomination had the power, even though the churches were supposed to be sovereign. There was a headquarters and a bunch of people, and this hundreds and thousands of people got together and went to the headquarters and said, we don't like what the preacher's preaching. And the headquarters, although the preacher was preaching, pray, 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 and we thought, man, we're really starting to go into revival. The predisposition, or the pre, I don't know, there's a number of different ways to say it, but just the way that things are set up automatically sets it in a place that if there is any kind of moving forward, the enemy can step in, because anytime where you have a ruling, a government above you, a denomination that can come and say, look, we don't like what's going on here, and we will remove the pastor if necessary, it can only go so far. It can, because it doesn't carry the heart of the local church oftentimes. Any church that has to answer to the rulership of an organization or denomination, or any church that has a voting board of elders or deacons or church membership voting. This is a pre-programmed mechanism for destruction. It's pre-programmed. It's you can't find it in the Bible. You can't find it in the New Testament. And anytime that a church has, and there might be maybe very few that'll ever listen to this, but if you have a government set up in your church where you have where members can vote, or elders can vote, or board members can vote, it's a disposition, a program that the enemy already knows that even if he has, see, here's the deal. We have elders. Let me go back. There's nothing in the New Testament that talks about voting. I don't even see how anybody could debate this. There's nothing even close. I don't understand why governments are set up like this. But the only closest thing to it was in Acts chapter 1 when they were waiting on those 10 days and Peter stood up and he said, "Brethren," now the Holy Ghost had not come. And Jesus said, y'all go wait. Don't do anything, just wait. And blessed Peter, that always wanted to get something done, before he was filled with the Holy Ghost, stood up and said, "You know what? We got plenty of time on our hands. We're waiting." He didn't say it like this, but this is about how it was. "We got plenty of time." And he knew that Jesus had used Scripture to talk about the betrayal of Judas. So I guess Peter, I'm not making fun of you, Peter. I know you're good now. He knew that Jesus had used Scripture concerning Judas and he was going to be betrayed. And then Peter goes back and he says, "It's written, let somebody else replace his bishopric. And the Bible says they cast, or another translation says they drew lots. Now, you can look at it in a lot of different ways, or I've read a lot on it. They don't know for sure. The best that they say is that it was about like flipping a coin. Flipping a coin or drawing straws. They actually had, it was in the Old Testament, they would put stones in a bag and they'd draw out and see whose name was chosen. Peter, just sit down. Sit down. If we could go back, just sit down. Because after that, you never, ever, from that point on, once the Holy Ghost comes, it's always like when Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto. It was no casting lots. It was no voting. It was nothing like that. It was by the Holy Ghost. So that's how it was. But when you have a predisposition government set up, then ecumenical settings can have their church begin to vote. Or we've got elders. I've got men and women in here that I consider elders. But elders are set up. They're appointed according to Scripture. The call comes to the pastor. The call comes to the pastor. He comes and shares a vision. And the elders are people that join themselves and have a character of eldership and go forward. And as a result, they're appointed or recognized by their appointed position or recognized positions. And a lot of times I will go. We don't rule this as a dictatorship. A lot of times I'll go to elders, male or female, and say, "Look, pray about this with me. You don't have to say anything right now, but what do you, in time as you pray, listen, and let's hear from God. Let's get a wisdom from the Holy Spirit." But any time that you set up a church that's outside of Scripture, and you have people that can vote. Now, listen, I'll give you an example. I had a young man years ago, younger than myself, but had a bigger church in Immokalee. And maybe twice as big. I don't know. Maybe more than that. It was going gangbuster at the time. He's no longer there. And he came to visit me. Because he appreciated some things about me, I guess, and some things that he was hearing and what was going on. And he was asking me questions. Well, you know how we are. We always take everything back to the Holy Ghost, you know, and and praying in tongues and all those kinds of things. So he wasn't really of that denomination, but I said, yeah, I'm going to be going to speak at our conference. And then I don't know where I was traveling that time. I don't do a whole lot of traveling, but I might have been, you know, that might have been the year that I went to South Korea, or it could have been any place in the world where I was at. I said, I've got these couple of trips that I'm going, and then I was sharing some stuff that I was preaching. He said, you're preaching, and I said, yeah, I'm preaching that. And he said, you just plain out say all that? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh my goodness. He said, if I said that, my elders, my board, would come and get me. And he said, now, like, when you go, like, that conference you're going to, he said, do you go and ask them? I said, and I didn't say this about myself because I don't think like this. But he said, you're the man. I said, well, if that's the way you want to describe it. But if I was to go to Marty or Rex or any of these women that pray in the Holy Ghost and say, you know, is it okay with you if I have Brother Jim in here? Is it okay with you if I go to Tulsa? Is it okay? No, we don't deal like that because it's unscriptural. There's no dictatorship. But the other thing is men put themselves in a position, an unnecessary position, where they have a... Well, I was going to say something, but better be nice. They have devil boards. Because all you got to get is one elder that can vote and just stalemate the whole thing. When are we going to vote, Pastor? About the 12th of never. About the 12th of never. When Jesus comes home, comes back, we'll vote him in. I vote for Jesus as president. Hallelujah. Well, here's the deal. Satan can easily use the power of backslidden deacons and voting boards, so that sets him up. United ecumenical settings can only go so far. Now, we're going to get to our part here in just a minute. Let me kind of act this out. So you got ecumenical. So let's, because of unity, we're together in unity. Let's agree on the blood of Jesus, and all of us would say, amen. Okay, so say we got all these, let's agree, you know, and you got this pastor here and that pastor there. And let's agree on the blood of Jesus, because when we have this meeting and we get these people saved, we're going to have revival in Immokalee. Okay, well, what can we agree on? The blood of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, blood of Jesus. Let's pray and do what? Get them saved. Amen. Get them saved. And then let's disciple them. Well, we can do that. Amen. Let's disciple them. Okay. Well, amen. Amen. Let's disciple them. What are we going to tell them? Well, we're going to tell them, grow in God. Amen. Grow in God. Yes, grow in God. How do you grow in God? Well, how do we tell them to do that? Teach them the Bible. Amen. Let's teach them the Bible. Glory to God. This is real elementary, isn't it? What do you got to do? You got to read the Bible. Oh, glory to God. We're all in agreement. We're headed towards revival. We're headed towards a revival. Okay. And then somebody like myself or somebody else says, okay, can we, brethren, can we get them, baptized and speaking in tongues? Oh, no. New. Some will say tongues are just not for today, respectfully. They will. And then some will just blatantly tell you they're of the devil. They'll just blatantly tell you they are of the devil. Okay, well, I don't know how I'm going to stick around. And that's not where we're headed. But okay, what about all these sick folk over here? Can we these sick folk? Can we pray for them? and get them healed?
Absolutely not.
Why? Because healing has passed away. Or if they're not that dogmatic, they'll say, you can pray for them, all right. But if it's His will, not this time. Not His will this time. He's going to teach him a lesson. How far can it go? How far can something like that go? Well, what about the gifts? What about the gifts that we see in the book of Acts or in 1 Corinthians? Can we teach them about receiving these gifts? Absolutely not. Why? Because they passed away. They passed away with the apostles. Well, what about signs and wonders like miracles? Can we expect and believe for them? You'll have one group after the other say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They passed away with the first church and the apostles. Well, what about some of these women? What about some of these women? Can we get these women to help us? Now, I'm going to tell you, and a lot of you are safeguarded by being in this environment, but I've heard things by what many of you, the denomination that you came out of, and it's a good fundamental denomination. In other words, you can get born again in that denomination. But some of their preachers, not all of them, but some of their preachers, I mean, just absolutely, based on their slant of the Word of God concerning women, they'd just about soon have Lucifer standing in the pulpit as one of you women. And that's how strong their doctrine is. They just believe that it's so absolutely, I mean, they'll put it right next to going to hell. That's how strong it is if you allow a woman to stand in the pulpit. So we're having this ecumenical. Well, what about some of our elder? Well, can they stand? No, they can teach Sunday school. But you put them behind the pulpit and let them stand there and open the Word of God, we're all walking out. You have denied the Trinity. How far can it go? It can't go too far. Because once you get them born again, then you got to start doing something with them. It won't get too far. Well, okay. I don't know how to follow you so far, but what about how do we fund this revival? Okay. Well, we're going to teach people to tithe, and if they don't tithe, we're going to tell them they're cursed. Y'all just go to a safe church so you're not used to having your ears burn up. Now, let me ask you this. Now, just think about this, and you all that are listening. Can you imagine, because it's been so many years since I've been born again, and we had a young lady that was born again Sunday. Isn't that great? Gabe brought her forward. Her name's Shannon. Remember Shannon? She committed her life to the Lord, and we just bless her. And but can you imagine, now just think, it's almost comical, but it's not. Can you imagine the shock that it is to the system of a baby believer when they've been born again by being introduced to a loving God who can be related to as their Father? They receive Jesus on the invitation of God's unconditional love. Then the next thing they are told is that the same Father will kill you. If you don't give him money. In all reality, they have built in the new believer an image of a God who is schizophrenic. The person has no idea what God what he, God, might do at any given time. You can love him. You can trust him. You can put all your cares on him. And by the way, after you're loving him and trusting him and putting all your cares on him at all times, by the way, he will kill you if you don't give him your 10%. Now, that's pretty dramatic, but basically that's what's taught. Because God will curse you if you don't give him. So this is how we're going to fund it. No, I don't guess so. That's how we're going to. Listen, God must have spearheads in the earth. Others can reap, as we said, but there must be spearheads. In other words, there must be those who will say, look, we're going to pray in tongues. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. And it's so important that we keep as the fulcrum, I mean, right in front of us, what our commission is, and that we stay laser, so absolutely laser focused. The early church, you got to understand this. There was no, we live in the 21st century where there is churches on every corner. Do you know that there was just one church in every city? There was just the church at Jerusalem, and that was it. There wasn't Peter's church over there and so-and-so's church over there. It was just like if you went to Jerusalem, now there was maybe tens of thousands of people in that church, but they all belonged to one church, the church at Jerusalem. If you went to Ephesus or Philippi or Corinth, it was all one church. I mean, they might have met in different places, but they didn't consider themselves as being, we're a church over here and there's a church over there. They were all just one church. That's the way it started. And that's the way it's really supposed to be. Have we been fragmented? Absolutely so. We talked just a moment ago about eldership versus committees. Committees many times are just works of the devil. You know, well, first of all, when you bring a bunch of people together and they haven't prayed over a situation, you're setting them up for failure. And then you get opinion here, an opinion there. And so it sets up why revival can't move in a lot of these churches. Well, we need a board. Why? Because we want to make sure that man is, we give. How do we know that $5,000 went to the mortgage? How do we know that this? Or how many know? How do we know you are not padding a lot of it? Well, if I am, I have waited 20 years to play my hand. I am very disciplined. Well, we need a board. This is the argument. We need a board to make sure that you are staying upright and handling things correctly. Do you understand that, now this is not an exact analogy, but it can be used, the applications. It's much like a marriage. You stay married because you trust. You stay married because you trust. That's the beauty of marriage is trust. Well, I want to have them sign a prenuptial agreement. What a marriage. I trust her, she trusts me, 38 years. No thought. But listen, the moment that you have to, okay, then this would be like we want a board making sure that's looking over your shoulder. The moment that you have to hire a private investigator to go around and make sure your wife or your husband is being true to you, it's over then. I mean, don't hire him, figure out how you're going to split things up, because the trust part's over. Well, we need a board. We need some elders making sure. Well, okay, all you're saying is the trust, we don't trust. See, that's not how a marriage in a church works. And many of these churches are set up from the get-go. with no trust. It's built on a thing of prenuptial. It's built on no trust at all. Hallelujah. Well, how do we know? Well, just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. That's your greatest inoculation. Amen. Hallelujah. You still with me? Let's take it to the next level for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at us and how important it is for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We're taking it past now into us and how important it is for us to say, speak, and think the same things. Listen, verse 10 says, Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak," do what? "Speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind in all the same judgment." What are we supposed to be doing? Speaking the same thing. What? In doctrine. All our little kids over there know Mockley's in revival. We understand, we at least understand our premise of praying in tongues and fasting and speaking the word and meditating the word. And we understand if we say these things, do these things and follow in these things, we're speaking the same things, not as clones, not as robots, but those that are fastening themselves to the word of God and how important it is. Because listen, if anything's going to be birthed, it has to be by a mindset of people thinking alike, speaking alike, and going forward. Sometimes, it has been God's will that people leave, that their vision no longer fit exactly where our vision fit. Wonderful, powerful, loving, God people. Pastor, you believe that people should leave? No. But listen, unity in saying and speaking and understanding doctrine. We're going to read a place there in Ephesians if we get a chance here, and then we'll close in just a minute. It is better for those when their vision does not fit exactly. It's better for them, and it's better for us at times for them to find that place where their vision fits perfectly. Do you understand that? How can I say it? Well, it'd just be like a guy coming in and saying, "You want to buy? I'll patronize my buddy. He likes Fords." A guy come into a Ford dealership and say, "You know what? I like this place." Yep. Because I want to buy a vehicle here. Okay. I want the best Chevy you have. Well, sir, we're glad you like it. I love this place. I love it. I want you to sell me the best Chevy. Well, sir, maybe you don't understand. We're a Ford dealership. That's all we sell is Fords. That's all we got. Okay? But I want you. Sir, listen. Just 2 miles down the road is a Chevy dealership. And we don't want to run you off. Do you like it? Yes, I love it here. I want to stay here. Well, okay. I want you to stay here, but look out there. We got a bunch of Fords for you. No, I don't want a Ford. I want a Chevy. Whew. Well, there's some down the road. You just get out here and go down the road just right down there, and that guy will be nice to you. I don't want to buy from him. I want to stay here, and I want a Chevy. Well, sir, all we sell is Fords. That's all we got. And we're not going to change our dealership just because you want to stay and bring something else in here. Sometimes people are like, shouldn't we go after them? Shouldn't we go? Jesus, the disciples came to Jesus and said, did you know what you just said? Got the Pharisees all mad. And the disposition was like, we need to go make it right with them. Jesus said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't go after them. Don't go running after them. This is what is truth, and they don't want the truth. So don't go over there and try to patch it up. I know he didn't really mean. He meant what he meant to say. No, we know what we're trying to say. And we're a Ford dealership. You can't buy a Chevy here. We want you to stay. Please stay. Please, please, please. But if you want a Chevy, you got to go. And that's all right. You can drive a Chevy. But we ain't going to sell you one here. This is what we do. This is what we do. We sell, you know, it's like KFC. They used to say, we sell chicken. The only thing we do is chicken. And we do it right. We do it right. All we know is we're after revival. Well, I'd like to start this program in here. Well, you know what? We might have that one day, but that don't fit in our vision right now. Well, I want to start it here, and I love this church, and I want to start it here. Stay, please stay. But if your vision doesn't fit here, we're not going to change to go after you and try to consolidate our vision to meet your vision. We've already got our vision, and this is what we're going to do, and we're not going to do anything else. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, stand with me. I'm going to let you out before 9 so you'll love me. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you and we thank you for your great grace and your loving kindness and tender mercies. We ask you to bless, Lord, and help us to go in with more of an exactness than we've ever had, knowing, Lord, and understanding. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for these that pray, seek your face, and go forward with us. And Lord, this is not my vision, it's our vision, and we're going forward. Immokalee is in revival, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We will see you Sunday. Amen.